Please, thanks to you and thanks to all of you for coming to this presentation. So this is the outline of my talk. First of all, I will give a brief introduction on the topic and then describe the phase-based features which are studied in this work. Then I will show you the results of our experimental evaluation of these features within the frame of voice pathology detection. And finally, I will conclude. So in the great majority of speech processing application, analysis focuses on the use of the amplitude spectrum of the Fourier transform. Nonetheless, there might be a lot to be gained by also considering the phase information. And this, for example, was done for... So there have been approaches using phase-based features to speaker recognition or automatic speech recognition, ASR. So see, for example, the work of Murty or Hedge. And there have been an improvement by using phase-based features in these two systems. And this is possible since phase provides a complementary source information with regard to the amplitude spectrum. And therefore, investigating the usefulness of the phase information seems to be a promising approach in speech analysis. So now I will describe the phase-based features, which are the object of this work. So first of all, we focus on the group delay function, and group delay is defined as minus the first derivative of the unwrapped phase of the Fourier transform. And this can be written as follows here. So you can see that R and I denote the real and imaginary part of the Fourier transform, and Y of n is n multiplied by X of n. So an advantage in using that equation is that it doesn't require any phase unwrapping. And here you can understand why the group delay function has been most of the time avoided in common speech processing application. Since consider the Z transform of the signal, and there might be some zeros close to the unit circle, and this is especially true for the speech signal. So for these zeros, so you evaluate the Fourier transform on frequency bits located on the unit circles in the Z plane, and for these zeros close to the unit circle, the variation in the phase information is quite high, resulting in high spikes in the group delay function. So you can also understand that because for such frequencies, the denominator of that expression becomes very low, resulting in these spikes in the group delay. So therefore, there have been some approaches aiming at reducing the source of spikes in the group delay. And the first approach was the modified group delay proposed by Hedge. And you can see that here, in the denominator, it has been replaced by S of omega, which is a capsularly smooth version of the Fourier transform. And this representation makes also use of two smoothing parameters, alpha and gamma, which also aim at reducing the spikes in the group delay. So another approach is the product of the power and the group delay proposed by Zhu. And here it actually considers that the main source of the spikes in the group delay come from the denominator. Therefore, just get rid of it and just consider the numerator of the expression. So we have also investigated the chirp group delay proposed by Boscourt. And this actually uses another contour in the Z-plane instead of the unit circle. So another circle in the Z-plane to evaluate the Z-transform. And this leads to a both smooth and high-resolved representation of the peaks in the speech spectrum. So for comparison purpose, we also use the straight spectrogram proposed by Kawara. And this is, a pitch adaptive time smoothing of the speech Fourier magnitude spectrum. So as the baseline, we also consider the Fourier magnitude, so the magnitude spectrum of the Fourier transform. And here you have an example of what these five spectrograms look like for a sustained vowel produced by a normophonic patient here above and below for a dysphonic patient. So here you have the Fourier magnitude, the straight spectrum, modified group delay, product of the power and the group delay, and the chirp group delay. And you can see that for a normophonic patient, we have a structure which is well regular in time. why this is not true for the dysphonic patient. And you can, this is especially emphasized in the chirp group delay. So basically, to explain this, during the production of a sustained vowel, you can assume that the vocal tract shape is constant. So the vocal tract function can be assumed as stationary. So if you find some irregularities, these come from the turbulences during the glottal production. So besides these five spectrograms, we also use features derived from the mixed phase decomposition. So to explain the mixed phase decomposition, just consider the source filter approach. So we have a glottal flow derivative, which is convolved in time domain with the vocal tract response to give the speech signal. And what the mixed phase model of speech says is that the glottal flow is a maximum phase, which means anticausal signal, while the vocal tract is minimum phase, that is to say a causal system. So the key idea of the mixed phase decomposition is to separate the minimum and maximum phase component of speech. And this is possible, for example, in the zeros of the Z-transform domain proposed by Boscourt, where you can see that the zeros, so this is the Z-plane in polar coordinates, and you can see that zeros related to the glottal flow are outside the unit circle, while for the vocal tract, they are inside it, since the vocal tract is a causal minimum phase system. So you can see that in the ZZT domain, there is a possible linear separation between the minimum and maximum phase components of speech. And we have shown that it's also possible in the complex Kepstrom domain, just using the frequency origin as a boundary for the separation. So in this work, we focus on the use of the complex Kepstrom decomposition. So basically, we have a speech signal. We apply a specific windowing, which is synchronous on the glottal closure instant, GCI, and two pitch period long. And then we compute the complex Kepstrom. And in the complex Kepstrom domain, it's very easy. Just keeping the negative indexes by inverse complex Kepstrom, we get the maximum phase component of speech, which is mainly related to the glottal flow. While for the positive indexes, we get the minimum phase component of speech, which is mainly influenced by the vocal tract. So in this work, we just isolated the maximum phase component of speech, which is a kind of glottal flow estimate. So here you have an example of two cycles of the maximum phase component. Here above, when I would say the mixed phase model is respected, that is to say we obtain waveforms which corroborate models of the glottal flow, such as the LF model. While for some other frames, the mixed phase decomposition fails, and we have such a irrelevant waveform. So in order to know whether the mixed phase model is respected or not, so we just computed these two time parameters from the maximum phase waveform. So now the experimental evaluation of these features. So for the database, we use the K database, which is made of the production for 53 normophonic and 657 dysphonic patients. And we just consider the production of the sustained vowels. So as features, we use the frame-to-frame variation for the five spectrograms. So as I said, if you assume that the vocal tract shape is constant during the production of the sustained vowels, this frame-to-frame variation mainly are due to the turbulences during the glottal production. So we also use these two time parameters for the respect of the mixed phase model. And for comparison purpose, we also use three perceptual spectral balances, which are extracted from the Fourier magnitude spectrum. So actually, these are energies in three distinct subbands in the spectrum, and they are given here because they were the most informative in our previous studies. So here you have an example of the distribution of this of some features. So here you have the Fourier magnitude, the modified group delay, and the chirp group delay. And you can see that these are the frame-to-frame variation in relative. So you can see that for the normophonic patient, we have much values which are much lower than for dysphonic patient. And this is especially true for the chirp group delay representation. So here on the right, you have the histogram for T1, so the time constant for the respect of the mixed phase model. And actually, if the waveform corroborates, let's say, the models of the glottal flow, we expect values around 0.2. And this is true for the great majority of the normophonic frames, but you can see that for dysphonic patients, most of the time, the mixed phase decomposition fails. So we have assessed these features in terms of mutual information. So basically, this is the percentage of useful information that the features bring to the classification problem. So here you have the five spectrograms, and you can see that the chirp group delay gives a high amount of useful information for the classification problem in normophonic dysphonic patient. You can also see interesting values for the modified group delay and for the two times parameters for the respect of the mixed phase model. So as expected from our previous studies, you can see that the spectral balances give higher amount of information. But you have to know that these are, let's say, the intrinsic discrimination power of each feature considered separately. But if you combine them, for example, the combination of two features, if you use BAL1 with BAL2, you can see that it only brings 64% of mutual information because they are highly redundant. While the best combination of two features is BAL1 with T2, these two, which leads to 79% of mutual information. And this is possible because these two sources of information are mainly complementary and not that much redundant. So we also use a classifier-based evaluation using an artificial neural network with 16 neurons. We use a tenfold cross-validation, and for the performance measure, we use the error rate both at the frame and the patient levels. So a patient is diagnosed as normophonic or dysphonic, so we use for that a majority decision strategy considering the frames. So these are the results just using a single feature. You can see the comparison between the, let's say, baseline Fourier magnitude and the chirp group delay. And you can see a clear improvement using the latter representation, both at the frame level and the patient level. Using now two features, you have here the two-time constant for the respect of the mixed phase model. And here the best combination of two features, BAL1 and T2. So you can see that up to now at the patient level, that the chirp group delay gave the best result at the patient level, but at the frame level we obtained the best result with a BAL1 with T2. Now with three features, so let's say also the common representation using the perceptual balances, and you can see that with each three features we obtain let's say worse result than just using the chirp group delay at the patient level. And now you can see also notice the very interesting result just using the three group delay representation with very low error rates both at the frame and the patient level. Now using five features, so we added the Fourier magnitude and straight or the two-time constant to the three group delay representation. Actually, you can see comparing with this line that this actually doesn't bring anything more. So finally, just using the old feature set, so the 10 features, so we have obviously the best result at the error rate for the frame level. But considering the patient level, we get 4.08%, which was already obtained just using the three group delay representation. So as a conclusion, we have shown that phase-based features are appropriate for characterizing irregularities in the phonation during sustained vowels. And these phase-based features are actually complementary to the, I would say, features derived from the magnitude spectrum commonly used in speech processing. And we obtained quite good performance just using the three features of the group delay representation. So I would like to thank all of you, and if you have any question or comment, they're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. We have questions or comments. Yes, please. Over there on the left.
So your observation is that your mixed phase decomposition fails at dysphonic speech, but how do you explain it? What is the reason for that?
Oh, okay. So theoretically, that would say that the production doesn't respect the mixed phase model. But as I said here, for the windowing, you have to apply a GCI synchronous and two pitch period long windowing. So for some dysphonic patients, the GCIs are not well marked or are not present, first of all, and also for the pitch estimation, that may fail too. So that might explain some of the bad results, and mainly because of this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Amber? Over there.
Hi, Thomas. Thanks for the talk. I just want to ask you, if you have an increased interaction between the vocal tract and the source, would your the sensitivity go up? I mean, for these dysphonic patients, if they happen to have more coupling, would that affect the mixed phase model?
The mixed phase model? Mm-hmm. Okay. I cannot answer to that question. But anyway, you find a maximum and minimum phase component. But just to say that it is relevant to consider that the maximum phase component is a glottal flow estimate, I would not say that. I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
In the back.
But to my experience, I mean, for the decomposition for nomophonic patients, let's say a speech synthesis database, it works. But when you have more, let's say, coupling between the vocal tract and the glottal source, I cannot answer.
Hi, thanks for the nice talk.
Thanks, John.
just a question. You assume the glottal source to be just have the maximum phase component, but you also has a minimum phase component, which is related to the spectral tilt. So, and that might spectral tilt of the glottal source.
Yeah.
And that might also vary from frame to frame. So do you think that that component might also, if you take account that, you could even get better results? Thanks.
Okay. So the spectral tilt is mainly due to the glottal return phase, which is a minimum phase signal. So it is mixed in the, let's say, in the minimum phase component here, which is not the object. Which is not investigated in this work. So we just focus on the analysis of the maximum phase component. And also for the features derived from the mixed phase model, we just consider these two parameters. So even though, I mean, that might also answer to Abir's question. So even though it's not really a glottal flow estimate, nonetheless, you might have, okay, to just say that here we have, let's say, a relevant waveform, and this one is very noisy, meaning that the mixed phase decomposition just fails. So even though you cannot interpret that as a glottal flow estimate, nonetheless you might have a current mixed phase decomposition. Does it answer your question, Joao? Okay.
I would have a question myself again. In your dysphonic database, I guess you have different classes of dysphonia. Could you comment on that and whether you tried to distinguish among those classes with your algorithms?
So we didn't need that work. So it's just a binary decision. So okay. The patient is normophonic and dysphonic. And also for the labels in the key database, you might have various pathologies for a single patient. So we just consider regular and irregular phonation.
Okay. So that concludes our discussion. Let's thank you again.
Thanks to you.